This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you again this week, as it is beautiful today and every day. Every day is a beautiful day. Great to be with you on ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio Los Angeles, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. That's eight. I want to get to 10 before the year's over. Can we do
all
that?
All right.
Can we get two more stations before the year's over?
We'll absolutely
see. Hey, why not? Why not? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. Thank you also for tuning in or listening to the podcast. Our guest this week is Hall of Fame safety Ed Reed. You'll hear from him coming up. Fascinating conversation with Ed, who played for the Baltimore Ravens for over a decade. And before every game, I didn't realize this about him, but before every game, he said he would recite the athlete's prayer. And what happened, he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2019. So this past year, when they had the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, guys were limited to X amount of time. I forget what it was, 10, 12, 15 minutes, whatever it was. But back then, they were also limited, but he went on for a while. However, he started with reciting the athlete's prayer at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And it goes like this, in case no one's heard of this, or you have, or you don't remember it. It's, "Lord, please clear my head of all distractions and my heart of burdens I may bear, so I may perform my very best, knowing you will always be there. Please lift me up before the moment, so through your eyes I may see and have a clear understanding as the game unfolds before me. With great courage I will meet this challenge as you would have me do, but keep me humble and remind me that my strength comes from knowing you. Then when all eyes are on me at the end of this big game, I will turn their eyes to you, O Lord, in the glory of your name." How beautiful is that? Isn't that beautiful?
That was really, really awesome.
I love that. And it kind of explains, a lot of times you'll see athletes, whether they stand on a podium after a huge victory or in an interview post-game, and they will praise God, give their all glory to their, they'll say, to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes people will question that and go, well, God didn't care who wins or loses this game, or Jesus didn't help you make that catch or make that throw or make that interception or whatever sport it may be, hit that home run, get that strikeout, or he's got more important things. These are all the things that the critics or the skeptics and people will say. And it kind of is what led me into writing Football Faith all those years back, because I would hear that in a press box. And it started with Jason Avant, who played for the Eagles, would always point to heaven every time he caught a pass, whether it was 3rd and 15 or 4th and 6 or 1st and 10. And so many guys sitting up there, "Oh, God doesn't care if you caught that pass." Blah, blah, blah. And I remember just having this conversation with him. And he talked about what he overcame, selling drugs as a teenager, and how his testimony, and it changed his life and who he was. And he's thankful for the blessing. He's thankful for the moment. He's thankful for the opportunity. He's thankful for the gift. It's not necessarily that catch or whatever that particular play is. And when you hear this poem, this prayer, it's such a great reminder for all of us, you know, not necessarily an athlete, but whatever we do in life, that our strength comes from knowing God. And whenever the spotlight is on us for an accomplishment, whatever it may be, to use it to glorify his name, because it's a great reminder that he gave us that blessing. He gave us that skill. He gave us that talent, whatever your talent may be. If it's not an athlete, if it's in work, if it's buying, selling, trading stock, if it's whatever it may be in whatever job you have or whatever we do, we all have different skills, different talents, but we need to recognize and remember in every moment that it's not from us. We didn't, yeah, sure, we worked hard, we went to school, we did whatever we had to do to get there, but God gave us that opportunity and those skills.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I want to have a prayer for, like, moms or something. I want to start my day with a prayer. I want to just be like, God, you give me those kids. You know, I need your help. But seriously, though, I feel like everybody needs to start their day with a prayer that just kind of puts God first in everything. And when he's first, everything comes just, I don't know, maybe I feel like it comes a little easier. It comes a little, and I don't want to simplify it, not as in easier, as in you just take that burden off of you, basically, and you know that someone else is walking with you and helping you, and therefore it's a little easier. And I don't know about everybody else, but I know when I start my day in prayers, it's just a better day. Overall, like, just a better day. Like, my attitude is better. The atmosphere in my home is better. I feel like I'm at peace.
Does it matter how long the prayer is, or?
No, I pray before I get off of my bed. Like, I just say a simple prayer. Like, it's not an elaborate thing. It's just like a, thank you, Lord, for waking us up, and thank you for a great day ahead. And we just pray that it's awesome and full of your blessings and favor. And then I go about my day. Like, it's a very simple prayer, and I just, like, say it, like, as soon as I wake up and, you know, roll over, get out of bed, and just, like, start my day. But honestly, like, sometimes I do just that, and sometimes I, you know, some, like, I really pray long, and I read the Bible and all that good stuff. So it kind of depends on the day. Some days are crazy and some days are not. But in all of this, like, I love that he understands and values his, like, he knows the gift he has, but he knows that the gift came from God. And he knows that, yes, granted, God doesn't necessarily care about, like, touchdowns and all that, but he cares about how you're using your
football term there.
Yes, check me out. And then, but then at the same time, God cares that you use your gift for his glory. So if you are using your gifts for his glory, he does care about that gift and how is it being used. So he doesn't really care about the passes and the catches and all that good stuff. Check me out. Like, let me ask you this question. Yeah.
Because it's easy to be grateful when you're standing on a podium and you're inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I'm not trying to diminish that. I appreciate him doing that and turning their eyes onto the Lord. Like, their eyes, as it says in the poem, in the prayer, everyone else watching and saying, hey, it's not because of me. It's because of God and what he's done for me. And in the conversation, you'll hear Ed talk about the great God's grace.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be Hall of Fame or something. Like, for example, do you, because you're phenomenal in the kitchen and make amazing food, right? Do you ever cook a meal and then say, because it's a skill, it's a talent.
Yeah.
Do you ever take a minute in your head to say, thank you, God, for that ability to be able to do that for my family because they appreciate it? You do. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I actually say that a lot, mainly because I love to eat. So...
Well, I say it for you.
Okay, so
I'm grateful that you have that skill and that talent. And I'm not trying to say that's your only skill or talent.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm trying to bring it back to, like, it doesn't have to be Hall of Fame stuff. It doesn't have to be winning a Super Bowl and praising God. Like, it could be whatever we're good at.
It's simple. Technically, cooking is simple, but in my mind, if you love to feed your family and you love to eat and you don't know how to cook, that's a recipe for disaster. Because I don't know how people do.
About simple. It ain't simple to me.
It's not simple, but it's more like you get used to it, so it's kind of like become simple. But yes, I do thank God for the ability to put something together, or the ability to feed my family, or the ability to not have to waste, like, money on ordering out all the time, stuff like that. It's little, but it actually is big. And I think it's amazing that we're able to use little things. And you know what? It's not so little. Like, sometimes God gives us those gifts to use. And actually, a lot of times, I feel like he's telling me to, like, do something more with cooking. And I know y'all, like, I have an ebook, a cooking ebook, if you want to check it out. It's on all my social media. Not like plugging it or anything, but, like, seriously, right, I just feel like it's my favorite kind of meals all together.
You're allowed to shamelessly plug anything you want.
Yeah. And, like, if y'all want to check it out, go ahead and order it. Help a sister out. But, you know... But seriously, he keeps asking me to do that, like, to just do more with that. And not necessarily for money or anything, but just to share my talent with other people.
And again, that's, I'm trying to bring it to everyday life, right?
Yeah. It's
we don't need
life,
a major
exactly.
victory in life to be thankful.
No.
Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I love that because there are so many things throughout the day to be thankful and grateful for, and we can point people to Jesus in so many different ways throughout our daily lives. Up next, you're going to hear from Ed Reed. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh. And Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on most of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Ed Reed, was a 5-time All-Pro safety, a 9-time Pro Bowler with the Baltimore Ravens, also played one season with Houston and the Jets. He split the time there with both teams. Ed is 7th on the all-time list with 64 career interceptions. He has the 2 longest interception returns in NFL history, 106 and 107 yards. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2019. Here's my conversation with Ed Reed.
Ed, tell me a little bit about your role as chief of staff with the Miami Hurricanes. What has that been like for you, and what do you do? How are you able to work with some of those young players?
Oh, man, you know, it's still, you know, kind of finding its own way, to be honest with you. I work a lot with the kids, though. I mean, that's the reason why I'm here. First and foremost is for those young men, trying to help them to understand, you know, professionalism, tradition that we had, you know, when I was here, you know, the tradition that was here before I even got here, you know, teaching them things that, you know, their coaches might not have time to teach them when they're not in the meeting rooms with their coaches and you know, coming back to do extra things, trying to get them to understand that they have to do extra things outside of what their coaches do for them, you know, and just being responsible adults. Some of our coaches didn't go to this level. A lot of them didn't go to the level that I went to and experienced the things that I experienced. So, you know, my knowledge around here is pretty much unmatched, you know, and the things that I can provide for these young men, it's just a matter of them taking full advantage of that.
It's a different world right now that we're living in. And from the time that you've played to the time we're in now, things have changed, not just in sports, but in the world. What do you see the needs of the athletes, the players? How have they changed? What are you having to mentor guys about now that maybe you didn't even think about when you were in college?
Oh, man. I mean, only thing that's really different, you know, is the access that they have, how spoiled they are as kids, because they tend to have more than we had as we were young adults, whether that was in society or in your family. You know, they have more access than we did. That's just the truth of the matter. Changed? Nah. Kids are still kids to me. You know, we're still the elderly. We're the ones to teach them to do things responsibly. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it comes down to. You know, understanding that you're the parents, you're the coaches, you have the authority, you know, and the guidance that they need. That's just the gist of it. I hear that all the time. These kids are changed. These kids are changed. I don't like to hear that, because for me, it's like the parents or the coaches are conforming to what they want. That's not how this goes, man. You know what I'm saying? I scream that all day around here. That's not how it goes. We're the ones to teach them to do things responsibly. It's not the other way around. You know what I'm saying? As much as we want these young men to come and enjoy themselves here, they have to do things a responsible way. You know what I'm saying? And that's from going to class and handling your business. It's no different. You know, we're the ones who give them the guidance.
You were a two-time All-American. You win a national championship at Miami. You get to the NFL and have a tremendous career, obviously, in a Hall of Fame. But at what point did you realize in your football career? How early was it? Did you realize that you were destined to do something special in the sport?
In high school. High school, when I understood the magnitude of coming to the University of Miami. And I understood my senior year, how much of college was a business. It wasn't clear to me, but I knew that if I went to the University of Miami, I had a chance of getting to the NFL. When I got here and I started to play, when I actually got on the field my sophomore year and they went to talking All-American and all that stuff, you know, I was all about winning the national championship first and helping as many teammates as I can achieve their goal and getting them to understand that if we win together, that there will be more opportunities for others, you know, like truly understanding like what we can do together and helping other people, you know, bringing other people along, you know, so it was early, man, that I understood that I could do something with it. It's just a matter of putting that work in, you know, and getting others to buy in, because you can be winning games, you know, or losing games, and you won't bring anybody with you. You know, it'd just be doing it as an individual, winning and a couple individuals succeed, you know, because I saw that early in my career. That's why I mentioned that. I saw that early in my career where it was just guys here just trying to go to the NFL and not talking about winning a championship, a team thing.
But as far as getting to the NFL and then having the success that you had, what does that take? Because you can get to the NFL, you can make a Pro Bowl, you can have a 2-3 year career, but you had longevity, you had sustained excellence for a long period of time. What did that take, not from the physical, but from the mental, for you to be able to get there?
Staying grounded, man, having the right people around you, the right partners around you, you know, doing the little things, working in the community, man, being close to the community and the people, you know, and taking care of your body. Your body in any business, you know, in this world is your temple. And if it's not healthy, there's nothing you'll be able to do, you know. So in our sport, it's a physical sport. So you have to have the energy to go out there and do it, and you got to recover when you're done. And you got to know how to do those things. So, like I say, you have to become a professional. You know, you truly have to be a professional and understand those things as best you could. Get around the right people. That way, you know, you can have some longevity in this sport.
In your role now, are you able to how closely do you monitor the NFL and what's going on Sunday? Or do you look at it as, hey, that's my day off?
It definitely is my day off. Uh-huh. I don't come to the office, but I am watching football a good bit. I don't watch it as intense as I did when I played football because, you know, there's no need for me to do that unless I'm working. I actually don't even have those programs. We have it at the university, but I don't use them to study tape. There's no reason for me to be studying tape right now to go out there and, you know, defend against anybody. So I don't study it the way I used to. But it's not a problem for me to get into it because when I'm here, like I'm about to watch the game from this Saturday and watch, you know, the team we got coming up this week, because I do break it down for the players. Like I'll give them, you know, just information, not necessarily coaching them, but just give them information on things that I see. Just staying in tune to it, keeping my mind, you know, fine tuned on just looking at tape and stuff like that. From a head coach's perspective, just to be in tune with how the game flow goes, you know, just in case I need to go up to Manny and let him know that we need to slow down or punt the ball or whatever.
Tell me about playing for Coach John Harbaugh. I consider him one of the more underrated guys because we always hear other names when you talk about great coaches, Belichick, Carroll, Reed, all these guys. And John doesn't get mentioned in those categories. And I feel like he should, because he's always got the Ravens ready to play. He's always winning football games. He's always in the hunt or in the playoffs. What was it like playing for him?
Well, you got to win championships to be in the Belichick's conversation. Coach Harbaugh is sold on the system. He's intense to some degree. He does want to win. He's all about competition. He's about iron sharpening iron, you know, each one teaching one. And when you understand iron sharpening iron, there's going to be some rough times in there, you know, but it's not to be taken personal. I think our relationship was different than most relationships. From a player coach perspective, because of how in tune I was with football, and I'm not a young man coming in. I wasn't a young man coming into the NFL, and getting coaches to understand it's a partnership, you know, with players and coaches. You know, that was a battle to some degree. I'm sure he had his moments. And I had my moments, you know, but ultimately he's the coach. They make decisions. You know, there's a reason why they didn't re-sign me to come back there, because they were going in other directions. I mean, we still have a relationship. I talked to Coach the other day just about some stuff, you know, I see over here from a head coach's perspective. You know, he's helping me to navigate these waters. You know, because our relationship has grown closer. We can learn from each other, man. It's like there's nothing that from a football perspective or even life, man, you know, that we can't learn from each other. You know, and like I said, to be successful on the field or off the field, you got to have the right people surrounding you. You know, and Coach is definitely somebody in my circle who I would call on. Well, I'm grateful to be able to call on, you know, and ask some questions to.
You mentioned iron sharpens iron. Reminds me of, obviously, the Bible verse. But let me ask you first about what you're doing with Crown Royal, the first ever whiskey sponsor of the National Football League. I know they have the kickoff with the Crown Royal program. is their commitment to donate $1 million via the Crown Royal Generosity Fund. So what's your involvement there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an ambassador. We did a commercial, and, you know, Crown is taking every game to give back, you know, to the community. You know, commitment of $1 million, like you said, you know, of generosity to go to small businesses, man. You know, Crown been doing these things for years, you know, and giving back to the military. I mean, that's number one. You know, that's the reason why we could do the things that we do over here. And like I said, we should do it responsible. You know, when you're drinking or consuming any alcohol, but definitely consuming Crown, you know, you should drink responsibly. You know, look out for your partners and your family members who you're with. Make sure they're still drinking water, because, you know, I've been a part of Crown Royal with the water break as well. You know, so we understand that people want to enjoy the game and have an adult beverage, but we also want you to do it responsibly. So make sure you're taking your water breaks, you know, as well. And this is a season long thing for Crown, every game. You know, so look for the commercials, you look for the tags. If anybody wants to donate, it's kickoffofcrown.com that they can go to, visit the website. And even if you're not donating, just go check it out, you know, so you can see what we're doing. And like I said, make sure that you drink it responsible, man. That's the responsibility. That's the most important thing, you know, is that you hydrate. You know, that you make it home. You know, you can enjoy the game no matter where you're at, but make it home. You know, I'd rather you watching it from your house if you're not in the stadium, you know. But the most important thing is making it home, people being smart.
How important was it for you to kick off your Hall of Fame speech with the athlete's prayer?
Oh, man, that right there was something that's been part of me my whole life. As long as I can remember, back in high school, I've been reading that poem before every game. So it for sure came into the Hall of Fame with me. It was coming regardless, you know, of the time constraints that they put on us as far as the speech. But yeah, that was huge for me, man. You know, it just goes to show how routine it was, you know, when it came to a game and going out and make plays. You know, I truly was putting it in the Lord's hand to use me as the vessel that I am, whether that's on the field or off the field. You know, it wasn't because of me. It was because of his grace, you know. So, yeah, that's what that was, man.
Beautiful, man. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And you have a blessed day.
Hey, you too, man.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Ed Reed. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes mornings simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.